it's 1974. Bowie is on tour, and is, you know, somewhere near the peak of his stardom at that point. Nina Simone is really struggling at this point. She's in a bad tax situation. She's being pursued by the Internal Revenue Service, ultimately ends up losing her house. And there's a sense that she's being monitored and harassed by the U.S. government. So she's really in an itinerant place and not recording very much. And she took her daughter, who was a young teenager at the time, to see one of the Bowie shows at Madison Square Garden. And then later that night, went out by herself, went to a club in Midtown Manhattan. And while she was there, Bowie came in with his entourage and, you know, I guess set themselves up at a table in the corner. And she was interested watching him, you know, didn't really, pursue it, and said she didn't plan to stay late or stay long. And she got up to leave, and Bowie apparently either signaled for her to come or said something to her, and she went and sat with him. And she said they didn't speak that much during the evening. They spoke a bit. He sort of held her hand. And when she got up to leave, he asked for her phone number, and he said that he wanted to call her. So that night, she said at precisely 3 a.m. that night, he called her and they spoke, and he proceeded to then call her every night for the next month. I gather in the middle of the night, every night for the next month. And they spent lots of time, you know, in conversation. Eventually he said he wanted to come out and meet her, and came out to her house in suburban New York, a house that, again, soon she would be thrown out of, and came in the middle of the night and apparently in full costume. She described him as looking like, looking like Charlie Chaplin, in a clown suit and a big black hat, and then stayed with her through that night. And she spoke about it as a real, as a very critical boost for her at that time. He said that, he understood what problems, what issues she was going through. And he said, she says that Nina was a genius. And what was wrong, what was difficult for her, was that she was really gifted and really an artist and didn't know how to be a professional, didn't know how to be how to operate in the business world. He said that he was, on the other hand, was not a great singer, but had planned and strategized, wanted to be a rock star, figured out the formula, and knew how to do that stuff. So, what he said to her, I think that stuck with her was, she said, the quote was, "I want you to know that you're not crazy. Don't let anybody tell you you're crazy, because where you're coming from, there are very few of us out there." And it's kind of an amazing thing that he reached out to her, and offered this validation of her as an artist, and said it was important that she stick with it, and important that she not lose sight of what it was that she was doing. And so, they had this evening and that relationship. And he went back on tour, I don't know whether it's related or not. Soon after that was when Nina Simone moved to Africa, which was something that she had long thought about or dreamed of doing. Really took herself out of the pop music machinery, and went and lived a different kind of a life that she said was the happiest time of her life. And you extrapolate what the conversation was, but thinking about Bowie taking himself into different environments and taking himself to Switzerland or to the States or to Berlin, in pursuit of different sounds, different ideas, different input for him. And that was what she then pursued. And I think, then the final piece of that, was that on the next album that, that Bowie made, which was Station to Station, that he cut the song Wild as the Wind, which was a song closely associated with Nina. It was the title track of an album that she had released a few years earlier, and was clearly intended as a, you know, if not a tribute to her, at least something that was inspired by her. So, you know, there was a, there was sort of that acknowledgement from him, of what her artistry had, had meant to him and to his work.
Alan, you've basically answered all of my questions in one go. That was fantastic. One thing that I'm interested in, just from your point of view as a biographer, you've gone through the material, you've have made up to some extent your mind about how you feel about her. Do you agree with Bowie's assessment of her as a musical genius but not able to cope with that professional side of music?
Well, I think it's, you know, I think that a basic tension in Nina's career is that she was somebody who trained very seriously for a very long time to be a classical pianist, and that the world that she came out of and that where she really learned to play was in a very pure artistic environment. And I think that what she struggled with, you know, through the rest of her career was her vision of herself as an artist versus her audience's view of her as an entertainer. And it endlessly got her, you know, into trouble, or at least into different sorts of tension. And she would, you know, berate her audience, or she wouldn't play until they were perfectly quiet. These are things that she had grown to expect through her classical training and through those teachers who said, you carry yourself a certain way, your audience, you know, listens with a certain intensity and a certain intention. So for her to go and play in nightclubs where people were talking or drinking or, you know, approaching this music very different than in a concert hall, that was always a very, very difficult thing for her. And, you know, on the one hand, once she saw the rewards of having hit records and you know, and being successful and selling tickets, she wanted that kind of success. She wanted the money that came with that and the recognition that came with that. But it was always very difficult for her to make any sort of compromise in her work, in her views, in her politics, in anything, because to her there was a purity to the artistry. And I think that's what, you know, I think that is what Bowie picked up on, that, you know, when you're talking about a real artist, you're talking about somebody with that kind of vision and that sort of clarity about themselves and their work, which is often at odds with what the audience thinks they're going to get. He was able to navigate that, obviously, as well as anybody within a pop context, to a point where people look to him for, you know, for this constant transformation and reinvention and evolution, and that was part of what he came to represent. But it, you know, we know that he was very savvy about creating these characters, presenting these narratives, you know, building up a world around the music that, you know, was a part of all of that. For her, I don't think she was capable of that sort of strategy and that sort of thinking. She just wanted to make the music that she wanted to make.